Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 293 for March 15th, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I've arranged for Michael Filguera to be our guest, and you should be seeing his screen right now. The option professor should be here as well soon. So hopefully he'll be joining us in a few minutes. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Michael, and he's going to tell you what he sees going on in the market this week.
And good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Filguera. I am with LogicalSignals.com. And a little bit of background on me, for those who don't know me, I have been trading in the market since 1979. I was an options market maker here in San Francisco. I've also traded in London, Amsterdam, and on the German Bourse before I returned back to San Francisco. Went off floor in about 2001 as the markets really turned more electronic and less volume was actually coming to the trading floors and was taking place electronically. And in about 2013, I guess it was, I decided that I really wanted to play volatility more than just in the options. And I switched my focus to day trading, which is where I basically have remained. But through the entire process, I have continued to focus on Elliott wave analysis and using Fibonacci. And that's where I'm going to start today by updating the picture on the ES, or the S&P. Last time we, and hopefully everybody can see my screen because that's where I'm going to start. I have the daily screen and the S&P up. And last time Jim and I really went over this in greater detail. I had placed a five to complete a five-wave rally, and that would have been off of the March 2020 lows in the S&P. And that in turn, in my view, had completed a larger five-wave rally. And I mean, we could build this up and we could put a group of fives up here to really display that we've completed something that should be a little bit longer term. And then the market did start to decline. And you can see that so thus far down to this low, it's really only done a three-wave decline. And last time we had felt that this actually had only been a three-wave decline. And we felt that we had to keep the possibility open that the market would yet return again, go above that 39.59 high, and then, you know, get back up closer to 4,000. And then the market didn't do it and it started to decline again. So that then opened the window that, okay, that top remains in place for right now. But once again, it only did three waves down. And that is not bullish. That's not bearish. It is more bullish than it is bearish. Now, having said that, the market has now, last week, came within 75 cents of reaching that all-time high. Last, on the 11th, it got itself up to 39,058.50. And that high is at 59.25. So we needed 75 cents just to equal that high. And then, of course, a dollar or more to break it above that high. It didn't do it. It sold off. But here's the kicker. It's not selling off and starting to break below these moving averages, which would signal that that high remains in place. We equaled it. We could possibly shift the five over to here, shift the three over to this one. That's all within the realm of reality. Put the four here and then a five, but I haven't done that yet because we must continue to leave open the possibility that the S&P will indeed get itself above 59.25 in an effort to produce a more solid new high versus just equaling it or breaking it slightly. If it only breaks it slightly and then starts to turn lower again, that's not a bullish picture. But what I want to add here, because coming in today, according to the latest forecast, there was a 90% probability, according to those who responded, of the S&P or the ES finishing higher on Friday than where it opened today. And that can still remain in place. But I want to kind of just go over that should the market indeed go up and make additional new highs, maybe even push itself up to 4,000, it is not the start of a new bull market move. It's a finishing move, in my estimation. And depending on how you trade in terms, are you a swing trader? Are you a position trader? And if you're a position trader, are you positioned to the long side? So in other words, you are waiting for higher prices. Then if it should get up above that 59.25 and then higher, I think that's an opportunity to make adjustments to positions if you're long, to be more prepared to start getting ready for the eventual decline. Because again, it in my view, these markets are not starting new bull runs. They're not just going to keep going and the Dow is going to reach 40,000 and the S&P is going to reach 5,000, et cetera, which would of course leave the NASDAQ somewhere up in the stratosphere. Having said that, we must still leave open the possibility that the S&P is indeed going to break and to new highs. The Dow does just about every day now. The Dow pushes itself closer to 33,000. And I've got numbers in the Dow. Here are my target levels in the Dow right now, 33,893 and 34,898. So basically we could say 34,900 and 33,900. So we basically got 1,000 points in between there. So that's a pretty big zone. But the market has truly been benefiting, or the Dow and the S&P to a certain respect, has been benefiting from this large rollout of tech stocks into what we want to consider value stocks. And that's Jim's total purview. That's his niche in our market as he monitors a lot of that. I can say that it's still happening. And in honesty, a lot of the Dow and the S&P's rallying have come via Boeing and Minnesota Mining. I've noticed pretty much that Minnesota Mining goes up between $1 and $4 every day. Why they're just ticking that up, not sure. There has to be some bullishness in there. And we could go and take a look at that stock just to see. But Boeing has been, and I'll just put Boeing up so that we can take a look at it. Boeing has been in an absolute tear ever since, you know, they're now getting through the crashes and the MAX 9 is flying again and they're getting more security there. They have actually gotten some orders for MAX 9s and they're not suffering anything from the decline or, excuse me, from the engine that blew up on the United Jet on its way to Hawaii from Denver. But as we can see, the market pretty much, and again, this is a daily, it's pretty much now reached above that high. So these recovery highs are now pretty well taken care of because it did it here, came down, and now it's doing it again. I will take this up to the weekly so we can take a look at a little bit longer term. And we can see here that there was its all-time high, which was well a long time ago. This was the post-COVID low at 89. And then we proceeded to really launch in what I'm looking at an ABC structure up. So there was A, there's B, there's C for the first leg. So that's a wave A. This is wave B. There was A, B, and then we get a C wave down. So we're now working on a five wave rally up. And you can see that it is one, two, maybe still working on three, or maybe that's one, two, three, four, and this could be five. So it's still in progress. So we don't know. So that is going to provide some support for the Dow to get up to its target levels, which is 33,900 to 34,900. But it's also going to propel the S&P, and I'm going to go back over to that S&P. It should help propel it back to or up to new all-time highs. Now you can see here that this is really going to have to work out better, that I'm going to have to move that three over because this is the weekly chart in the S&P. And look how beautiful, clean that is. So that definitely is not, I would say that doesn't complete that high there, that's an ABC down and we're heading higher. So I'm going to keep in that forecast that we will break that 3,959 high and then head up towards some stronger resistance levels. And we don't have a whole lot. I mean, we may find some at 3960, 3975, and then 4,000. And I think that to say that it's going to end right at that level, 4,000, probably not, because it doesn't end very often right at that round number. So I can put some, that was to show me down. I wanted to run this up, but I don't really have any points where I can do it to really make it valuable for us. But we can begin to throw some Fibonacci's in to see about how high we believe it can go. So I'm going to go back down to a daily chart on this. And I take it from this four, I'm just going to throw something up there to see if we're going to get anything that's going to show us some. I really got to take it from this high. So if I take it from this high, let me move this back to just Fibonacci levels. That's the high. Come on, give me that high. 39.59. Come on, go back up there. There we go. And it came out too low, but at least we'll get an idea. Because I want to pull it up to here. See, these are the levels now we're going to be looking for. We've got this level at 4,008. And then we have this level at, like I said, 4,044. And then ultimately, 4,101. Are these realistic? Yes, they are. But again, they're not the beginning of a new bull move. They're a finishing move. So again, depending on your style of trade, what you think you should be doing, I would not be building up long positions unless I was a swing trader. And then you're going to have to work out your stop level and make sure that you're protecting yourself against the unforeseen. Because if the markets begin to get up to new highs, anything can break that cycle and just turn these things massively lower again. And they would kind of be falling under their own weight, because I grant you that we have a lot of talk about recovery. We have a lot of talk about post-pandemic. We have a lot of positive things to stand on. But I feel that so often investors and the markets tend to get ahead of themselves and don't, and then have to pay, allow reality to play catch up. Now, yes, we're going to see if the economies open up again. I don't think that stocks like Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, all of these companies that are basically in the high tech sector and also within the broader markets that have allowed their employees to work remotely. That basically is leaving a huge gap in offices. So we have a lot of downtown areas or financial district areas across our country, which are basically empty. There's nothing going on. So I don't think that, you know, the positivity is going to boost Apple's earnings, is going to boost Amazon's earnings, because it's already there. We've already been trading them as if they have carried our economies through this pandemic. If anything, if people can go out more, then they're not going to be ordering food for deliveries as much as they are now, because we have been allowed to move around freely. So I think we need to put into perspective as to what should we expect as people return to the economy. Number one, it would be that a lot of these people that have suffered through unemployment, not to their own fault, they need to get back to work. Are those companies then going to be rehiring? We've seen it in the airlines. That's beautiful. The airlines basically told all of the people that they're going to be on furlough that they're not. Come on back. We're going to fly. But how will people respond to getting back on planes and going on vacation? So there's still a lot of questions out there before we can really determine that this is a long-term recovery process and that it starts now versus we decline, get some things back in line again, and then all move together strongly in a more solid recovery. We just have the promise of a strong recovery. We don't actually have the evidence that it's going to happen. And I'm not being doom and gloom here. I try to just approach a market on a realistic level. We continue to trade what's in front of us each and every day. So again, this is a daily chart, and I don't trade off a daily chart. The largest I trade off during the day is an hourly chart. And you can see here, the S&P is basically still sitting below even its highest level from last week. But this whole move, it's pretty sloppy, to be honest with you. We've got five-wave declines followed by three-wave rallies. This is three waves. This, you know, a lot of threes in all directions, which continues to tell me corrective. And then it does basically a three-wave rally up to here, which again throws a wrench into that whole picture about where's it go from here. Then it did a three-wave decline, throw another wrench into the whole process. Then it does pretty much a nice little five waves up, does three waves down. That all fits. Now, if this can break and close higher today, then I'm going to be all on board that should continue, break above this high, break above this high, break above this resistance, which is actually misplaced. So let me get rid of that there and see if I can't get this cleaner for us right now. Come on, get over there. Beautiful. This is going to be a lot nicer. And this is 21. Bring that up just a tad. I'll go right there. Much, much cleaner. So now you see that we're sitting right on that 59.25 high, and that's going to still be resistance. But if it can break itself, it's gone above this level. And right now, the 200-day moving average is sitting right on it. So that continues to work. The moving averages continue to be in line for a rally. So I'm going to now build the case for the people that have basically said we can go higher between now and Friday. I would tend to agree. So as much as I normally will take a contrarian view and say, well, we can go down. Right now, based on what I'm seeing, the moving averages remain in good position. We just need the 8 to kind of zip itself above the 20, but it can do that very, very easily. We've come down on an hourly basis and tested that 50-day moving average twice. One day we slid through it, or one moment we slid through it this morning, recovered it, came back down, retested, and now we're moving higher. These are all positive for a continuation in the rally. Now, if we can get the 4 and the 8 to kind of agree and also begin to move higher, then that 20 is going to turn up. The 8 is beginning to hook higher, and you can see that kind of, but it's very small. So I'm going to stay still bullish for this week on the S&P unless it breaks solidly and closes below the 50-day moving average, or the possibility that it breaks that low at 3,900 and then comes down and tests or breaks the 200-day moving average, which sits at 3889. These are the levels that we got to look for. But right now, our stochastic and our momentum continues to point higher. The market continues basically to point higher. So we're going to see how this all closes today and then decide. Once again, my position would be to determine what type of trader I am. If you're a swing trader, go ahead and buy it and put your stop in. I would put a stop, if you're buying the future, I would put a stop in at 3926. If you're buying particular stocks, pick your point to where you're going to say, nope, not going to happen, and you're going to get out. Because you certainly don't want to sit on a hope, a whim, and a prayer and just continually lose money. So you don't want to stay in a losing position. So you want to protect yourself as things come off. Then one of the questions that we normally get asked is, what support would I give to my opinion that we're going to move higher? And I would state that along with the 90% of the respondents for this particular week, this week. And one of the things is that it remains above the moving average. It remains cleanly above the 200. It is traded below and above. So the 50 continues to provide support. And the 20 now is in play. And you can see kind of hemming and hawing, not moving real fast, not moving real slow, or it is moving real slow, around the 20. I needed to get above that 20 and start heading up towards 39.39 to 39.40. If it can do that today, then that would be a really sweet rally. And that would be a good kickoff to getting us to those higher levels that we're looking for. Again, type of trader. If you're a position trader, you're likely already long. Depending on what you're long and how long you might be, you could start to scale out if we actually start to get towards this high at 39.59 or 39.60, and then start to determine where you're willing to get out as this market moves higher. Again, we have an additional 100 points here before we would reach 4,000. And then, so it's 200 points is what we're really looking at based on the Fibonacci's that we ran here. So now you can see them very cleanly. So there we have basically 100 points up to 1.382 or 138%. And really what that is, it's just 138% of the decline. And that fits. Those fit where we would expect a fifth wave rally to kind of reach. Ultimately, though, we have already stated that we can get up to 4106. And that's just going to be another 160 points from pretty much the high. So that's not all that much in respect to what we've already seen. So again, tradable, absolutely. Able to make money? You should be. Don't be in a rush to short it. But as I tell traders, trade what is in front of you. And that's what you have. That's what keeps me being a day trader. If I trade what's in front of me, bullish and bearish, and I put parameters around it, we should be able to make money each and every day, because we're not getting married to the bullish side, or not getting married to the bearish side. We're staying open to let the market tell us what it's going to do. There's a myriad of reasons that will be produced for why these markets should rally, but there's a myriad of reasons on why they should drop. So that's why you got to clear out that clutter of noise. noise and just focus on what the market itself is telling you. We can't, I don't know about any of you guys, but I'm not big enough as far as a trader. I don't have enough size to push direction. So I have to play along with what everybody else is determining what they're going to be doing. So I stick to day trading. I stick to my moving averages. I stick to the Fibonacci's resistance and support that I have developed and put on my charts. And that's what I would recommend. So we don't get stuck in, well, it's got to go up. It's got to go up. No, it doesn't. It's got to do what it wants to do. It's got to do what's really going to be in charge at that particular moment. Right now, I was saying it all last week. I'm going to say it again this week. And I think that's why the majority of people came in 90% higher, is that the market, it just feels like the S&P wants to go make new all-time highs. The Dow has, the Russell has, the NASDAQ hasn't. I don't think the NASDAQ will get there. Excuse me. So that's not going to stop the S&P. It's going to slow it. If the NASDAQ turns and really starts to sell off again, the S&P is going to have trouble getting itself back up to those highs, simply because it has now added a lot of the bigger tech stocks, Apple, Amazon, Tesla. And I'd have to go take a look at that list to really put it in, to see who else is in there out of those big, which the latest ad was Tesla. When you get these bigger stocks in there, they are going to have an effect. And if the NASDAQ goes down, those will not escape. They will go with the NASDAQ. And therefore, that'll drag down the S&P, not necessarily the Dow. And if you've noticed, there's a lot of days where the Dow's up 140 and the NASDAQ is down 200. And everybody goes, what's up with that? It depends on what's happening. And on those particular days, Boeing was up versus the rest of the markets being down. So is or in front of us is up. That's true. I will go along with Vince. Vince is making comments saying all that the S&P is telling us now is, or in front of us, is that it's going up. I agree. I agree with you. And we can put this market into a lower time frame. Okay, this is the 30 minute. Now I'm going to go lower. We're down to the 15 minute. 15 minute is, look at the beautiful rally right off of that low. And it just kind of bing, 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 bing. Let me just open this up so we can see it a little bit better. Look at that. Bing. So you're right, Vince. It is going up. You're absolutely right. But this is now telling me on a 15-minute basis, getting a little bit overbought. So what are we going to look for? If you're here, you're going to look for at least to find support at that 15-minute, 50-day. But right now, we have the 8-day crossing over. Now, if that holds, if it comes down and tests that 50 and holds, then it's going to go up and it's going to move to a new high. If not, then maybe it comes down to the next level, which is the 20 at 39.31. Here we have the 15-minute 200. Again, big difference than that daily or the hourly, but it's sitting at 39.25. If it comes all the way back down there, it's going to turn the whole picture back to negative, and we'd be looking for it to slide through if it didn't hold. But smaller declines right now, I would be anticipating that they're going to hold somewhere between the 20 and the 50 and then produce the next rally. So Vince, I agree with you. Looks like we're going to continue to go up. And as we move up, you can still take your chart and go down even more to see what's happening on the lower levels. We've got a 200 much higher. See, now on a 5-minute chart, the chart is not in alignment to really put in a big rally. Why? Because the 50 and the 20 are below the 200. This 200 moving average is flat. That's telling us it's not going to go very far. So then moving out to the 15th, it says it does. Moving down to the 5 says it isn't. So, but it doesn't take long. The 5-minute can fix itself in 5 minutes. So, but they continue to guide you through your day. So you're not getting too far ahead of yourself. We can take it down even more. We can go down and look at a 2-minute chart, which I do during the day. It's even more beautiful. Now we're going to push it into, that's this morning's low. Look, it's rallied pretty, very, very nicely. I mean, it's rallied over $20. It's rallied $21 off of that low. Is it time for a pullback? Yeah, but even on a 2-minute basis, I got the 20 and I got the 200 and I got the 50, and they're not that far apart. You know, the 50 and the 20 are $2 apart. So pullbacks, I think, will be shallow, but they will happen. Tradable? Yes. But maybe just because for the balance of the afternoon, we might begin to really push higher. So what I've already introduced and what some, I don't have that list in front of me. And David, if you want to read or join to say what some of the respondents are giving reason for being bullish or reason reason for being bearish. As I stated before, I think there are a ton of reasons. One that I think is very important that we do hang our hats on and pay attention to are interest rates. That is not out of the picture. So they come in and Boeing is not going to be as affected by higher rates as, say, Apple, Amazon, Tesla, Google. The big tech companies are more dependent on the lower rates for growth. Rather, as those rates start to go up, it's going to put a crimp in a lot of things. And one of them could be the market, the equity markets. It carries too much weight. I mean, if we put a pecking order together, for me, what sits at the very top of that pecking order are interest rates. Next one down is currency. So, you know, one controls the other. And I believe interest rates control right now the US dollar, and rightfully so. So we have got a lot of things being unfolded in front of us. And so that partially is holding things in check. What is really going to happen as this relief package, the recovery package, starts to unfold and the money starts to get pushed out and in? There's the belief that, well, everybody's going to get their $1,400 or more and part of the relief. They're going to put it into the market. Don't bet on it. A lot of people will, but they're already starting to figure, who do we give it to and who do we don't give it to? So I would not count on big movements, but that doesn't mean the market won't do it. I basically would not put my dollar in there on that reason. More interesting and more important to me is watching interest rates. Right now, bonds, the 30-year bond and the 10-year, are putting a little bit of recovery because they got the butts kicked last week. Totally to be anticipated, to be expected. You get things that are going to come in and ebb and flow. Interest rates are the same, but we have too much pressure on the fact that our dollar needs, the need to borrow dollars, is going to grow. And what we're seeing is there aren't too many large players out there. So it would be like China, Japan, Germany, England. A lot of the governments, a lot of the countries that will come in and support our lower interest rates. So they're willing to buy those bonds for a point and a quarter or less. And so that can keep interest rates closer to zero than 2 or 3%. The 30-year bond is, if it starts ticking up to 4 or 5%, it is really going to put a wrench in any rally. So these are the things that are going to sit on the outside and they're going to influence. And so you must keep a corner of your eye or at least your ear or whatever, listening for what's happening in interest rates. We have gold that's going to come in. And right now it's in play. But gold has been getting its butt handed to it simply because of interest rates and the dollar. You know, weaker dollar, stronger dollar makes gold more expensive. Weaker dollar, gold becomes cheaper. So right now, we're just a rebound rally, and that's off of last week. This is a 30-minute chart, and that's off of, we had a nice rally up this morning in a Globex session, and then right from the opening, then it sold. It sold, and now it's working its way higher. So what do we think? Gold certainly can come up here. That would put it back at 1740. This is a 30-minute chart. Let me go up here. Let me put it on an hourly chart. Just a bounce. In fact, it might equal that, and I think it turns lower again. This isn't very promising to me. Its location would suggest that this rally should have continued and ended up here somewhere by now. It's not. It's turning lower, and now it's just coming up and rebounding or just doing a small bounce off of this first decline. The first decline held the 50 and the 200, as you can see down there. It held that, look at that, flat as a pancake, which is going to tell you that's what the market's really doing. So the 50's rising a little bit. The 20's even flat. So this is telling me gold's not really going to go very far. Not right now, anyway. So probably for today, we've seen the best, and actually because it finishes early. So I'm not expecting a lot. If I look at the daily looks like it's going to do another leg down. So it kind of reached 382 support at 1671.5, came down, touched it. It's rallied off of that. But there's a very strong possibility that this is going to go down, find some support here at 1576, but ultimately maybe down to 1550. That'll really shake up the boat if gold starts to tumble below 1600. But it's out there. We have these possibilities. So that, again, interest rates start being hiked. They march higher, gold will march lower. And so these levels could be realistic in the overall picture. Other things that I like to bear in mind when I'm trading are, of course, the Elliott picture. And as I've just told you, that right now I'm leaving this, that the picture, even on the daily, continues to suggest that we will move to new highs. We've got this in line where it needs to hold the moving averages. It needs to, on the daily, it needs to hold the daily 20, and it definitely needs to hold the daily 50, if indeed it intends this week to go up and break those highs. So I'm watching moving averages. And as I just discussed, we need to just see the four and the eight move above that 20 for the 20 to angle up, the 50 and the 200. They are sort of angling up, but I'd like to see the 50 a little bit stronger on that angle. And the 20, is now above, because it's at 38.77. Those are all positive for the rally to continue, but it's getting capped off right now simply because of Boeing is they're cashing out of Boeing, and Apple's rally is kind of stopped. Doesn't mean it won't pick up in 15 minutes. We'll have to wait and see. I don't really know what else to be adding to this in terms of why the picture is the picture. Anybody got a suggestion? I'll talk about whatever somebody would like us to talk about right now. I can look at some individual markets. I looked at gold, looked at silver, and we could see what is what.
Jim's been talking about platinum a lot lately. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Platinum futures, as in gold, is basically rallying off of the last week's lows, last month's low. This is a daily chart. And we reached this low on the 5th, and then we reached that high last week on Thursday, and now we're beginning to rally back up. So Friday actually was an up day, had a nice little drift below that 20-day moving average, but on the daily, yeah, this sits really nice. So platinum actually sits better in line to rally than gold, and that might be the case. Used to be. Platinum could rally by itself, didn't need gold. But again, what it needs to do, needs to hold that 8 at 1202. It needs to hold the 20, which is here at, come on, show me, 1197, and then absolutely needs to hold the 50 on any pullback at 1154. A break below that on a daily chart would suggest that we are going to be doing one of these. We'll do a larger leg down. This could be a 1, 2, 3. This is a 4, or this is an A and this is the B. So we got a couple of possibilities in there, but I would think that it's going to track gold. It's kind of heading into a little bit of a top for momentum and stochastic wise. So maybe we are in store for a little bit of a turn lower. Participating today in the rally, but even in gold, the rally is less than $10. So it's not that it's super strong. Platinum's a little bit bigger at $13. But while we're here, why don't we just go over and take a look at silver. Exactly the same thing, except the chart's a little bit different. You can see that we did a B, and now we're working on a C, and I don't think it might be complete. So silver may have put a C wave in there, which then would suggest that the rally picks up again, which it has. That's up 40, almost 41 cents. So, you know, not bad for silver, but it needs to hold above 26. Its moving averages are not necessarily in line. The 50-day is pretty flat. Here, we're going to just open that up. Look at that. 50 days is flat as a pancake, which tells you the market's going to move sideways. What's it done? Pretty much sideways. Not really going down too far, not really going up too far. Just biding its time in a tighter range. The 20 now has gone flat, and the 200 is very flat with a very slight higher angle. So that kind of tells me we're not really going to do anything right now. The 50 is holding it, and the 20 is certainly holding any rally attempts. And then the market is being held higher as it pulls back to the 4 and the 8 day moving average. So holding well above the 200 down here. So silver, I don't necessarily want to play. I certainly would not day trade silver here because it's not really moving. And so you run the risk of you're getting in and then you're not going to make any money and need to get out if you're day trading. Let's see, we got something else. Hi, George. George is asking me if gold drops to 1548, what do I see from there? Well, being that I am a gold bug, that is a great question. So let's go take a look. let's take this up to the monthly so that we really can take a look. And here we had for pullback off of the low that we had of 1045 up to the most recent high at 2089. So this is actually a little bit off. And that is showing us that if the market continues to pullback, it would fit into the pullback that's been in off of that high, off the all-time high. So I would suspect that a break of 49 or 48, and then it has to break below the 200. And that just opens up the next level, which is 1427. My anticipation would be that it should be contained there. This is just a corrective, an ABC off of the all-time high. And I'm going to try to draw this a little bit cleaner so that our numbers reflect it better. So let me see if I can get this lined up. Here is that low, and that's 4540. Nope. Bear with me because these are a little bit more difficult to get in there. Come on, 45. Get it up there. 40. I'll live, but it's off by $5. We'll go on both sides. So you still can see, moves that up a little bit, 1566. So, but still, that it comes in and the next line would be 1442. But that's on a break of the 50. So if this thing declines, the 50 is going to turn lower with it, particularly if it declines $100 from here. These will start to turn lower. But I would keep then my eye on this. I'd still use 1550. And I need to pull this bottom up a little bit. So I think it's going to still reflect towards 1550, 48. I would anticipate that it should hold. But again, we would have to look at the structure of how it got down there. If we're counting a five waves down, where does it sit within that? What is the potential from that? Is it going to extend? So there are still a lot of givings that we need to add to that equation so that we can be more firm on, is it going to hold or do we drift down to the 50-day moving average? Again, we'll see where all of these moving averages, should it drop, are going to go with. So they would all come into play both in determining the bottom of a decline and what potential lies ahead. But just from this chart today, I would hope that the 50 moving average could hold it. A break of the 50 on a monthly chart would be pretty negative. Then we'd be looking for it to drop to the 200, and that's pretty far down. And that would be 10% interest rates. I would hope that there would be a good reason for it to drop all the way down there. If not, yeah, it could get nasty, and I would not want to see it down there, to be honest with you. So right now I'm going to say that it I'd be looking for it to see how it looked, what my structure of the decline looked like, what the Elliott wave count was appearing to be at that point, and then where the moving averages were, and then we can do internal Fibonacci's to try to determine where this thing could go. We can even run one on the monthly. Like, I'll just do it. Let's just see for fun. If we take it from this down to here, up to there. Oh, that didn't work. No, go away. I'm going to do that here, and then this is going to be 6250. I'll put it right there. Okay, so let me take this down so we can see these. Okay, so here you have, and this is a combination. We had first the larger ones. Now we've got, if we just took it from this low, and you can see I'm off on some of this, so we'd have to make adjustments to that high, which fits. But we're getting, these are guesstimates, okay? So it actually reached a level that had turned lower off and needs to break above to produce stronger move higher. But we have 1689, 1641, which is where this decline would equal this decline. And that would be pretty good. So we've got, and you're going to have to take this as a average and not necessarily a precise number. We could get there, but for the sake of time, we're going to call it 1642. And then we've got a double measurement here, a 50% and then a 1.236 drop down at that 1566 level. And that could be a very important level. So again, now we've got another double. This is what I was talking about, Fibonacci, where I've got two levels coming in at the same area. One's at 50% of the rally, and the other is an extension of the decline we've seen up to the high we've seen thus far and where that goes. In fact, I'm going to clean that up and undo those extensions. And I'm going to go put them back in just so that we can get as accurate as we can. Go back up to there. Okay. So still the same. You can see it. 1566 and 236 is just below it. So that, again, now we're putting credence, we're putting strength into that area versus how high could we go if the 50 holds? You mean this 50? Well, then I would suspect that we have a shot at, from here, let me go back out so that I can get that done correctly for you, George. Oh, not that. I want to go back out to that monthly chart because that's the 50 we were looking at. If this 50 holds at 1534, then I would suspect we were lining ourselves up to go up to new highs. That would be, to me, a starting point for the next larger leg up because I'm doing this on a monthly chart. So if it gets down there, I'm a gold bug and I definitely would be a buyer. I'd be a buyer of physical and I'd be just putting it away. You could buy futures and you can trade futures and you can put puts underneath it. Or if you want to sell a future because you think, you know, it could go lower, you could put calls, buy some calls because you're going to want to cover at some point. You could sell calls and buy the future. It gives you a little bit of room, gives you a little bit of insurance and gives you some premium as you're waiting. But if it just starts to hold and rally, then I think the potential for a very strong up move will exist. And that's with the question, that's questionable if it can get down there. Right now, here we are again. That 50% level stands, 1566. Then we have from this internal, we have another area at 1568, I think it is, somewhere in there. So we've got a zone building right here. We have another zone building around that 618 and then 1.618 of the decline. That's sitting at 1442. So those would be the strongest points that I can see for where gold will, if it continues to drop, where it's going to find the support to complete the move and begin its next or stage its next strong rally. Monthly chart does not, this is the momentum and the stochastic. Look at this, a monthly chart and it's getting oversold. So it doesn't look like it's going to. Thank you, George. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's very kind. So I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to leave it there. We've got a few minutes left. If you have an interest in contacting me, please feel free to do so by contacting me at michael@logicalsignals.com. I always answer my emails. I am available to do coaching sessions. If someone has a particular market that they trade, then that would be a good idea. I am right at the moment producing a daily podcast, but it's covering the NASDAQ, which is my main market that I trade. I day trade on. Love the NASDAQ. It either loves you back or it can hate you and catch you in some nasty trades. So I am at a point where I'd like to help people to learn how to trade the NASDAQ. So my daily podcast can be found on Traders Helping Traders under the Eye of the Storm section. And so I update Monday through Thursday in the evening for the following day. And then I update on Sunday evenings for today, for Monday's trading. And right now it's just the NASDAQ. If there's particular stocks that you would like me or indexes that you want me to include, please just send me an email and let me know. I have no problem adding and doing more than one podcast so that I can begin to just present what people want to hear and people want to see. And having said all that, again, michael@logicalsignals.com, or you can leave messages once you're on Eye of the Storm. You have the ability to leave me a message there, but safer to use michael@logicalsignals.com. Thank you very, very much, everybody who came in today and listened. I hope that I've helped clear up pictures or at least presented something that you can stand on and do some good trades on. And I'm going to turn it back over to David.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Ton of good information today. So yeah, thanks for being here and sharing your thoughts about the market with us. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And you can also go to Timing Research to get access to any of the past shows or events, recordings there as soon as I can get them posted, including today's episode. Also, be sure to join us tomorrow for Analyze Your Trade at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Jake Bernstein is going to be back. He was on a couple of the Synergy Trader events late last year, but it's been about 8 months or so since he was on one of the weekly shows. So Jake Bernstein and Jim, the option professor, are going to have a conversation tomorrow, analyze some symbols and talk about what's going on in the market tomorrow. So and you can always find that at timingresearch.com/live. So be sure to join us at 4 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. And thank you again to Michael Filiguera of TradersHelpingTraders.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.